Ideas for sermons come from all kinds of things, but I will admit my favorite is when you all suggest something. So, for instance, Anthony, when you've requested a couple sermon topics, I really like that. But if you were going to guess with me what one of the most common sources for sermon topics are, anybody have an idea based on the history of me preaching here?
Music.
Music, you see, but you're my wife. That's kind of cheating, right? What's up, Augie?
Little children,
they make good sermon reasons too. It is true that often music puts a topic in my head, although sometimes it's tangential to the song itself. This week, during the week, I was listening to a song that Michelle just hates. Nancy and Sinatra singing, "These Boots Were Made for Walking." Is anybody familiar with those? Yeah? She does love that song, and it inspired today's talk. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing a song to you today. There was a line in it that reminded me of a failing, and I feel pretty comfortable in saying this, that a failing that all humans are beset with. The simple statement was this: you keep lying when you ought to be truthing. You keep lying when you ought to be truthing. Does anybody here know somebody or has known somebody that you felt like singing that to? Maybe not singing, saying. How's that sound? Anybody ever run into somebody like that? People who you want to trust, but their track record with being honest is questionable, to say the least. Were any of them Christians? Before we hop into Scripture, what is a lie? What is lying? Not telling the truth, right? You got it, Augie.
Saying something that you know is wrong.
It's saying something you know is wrong. Anybody else? Well, you know, I use my Mac dictionary because if my Mac dictionary says it's got to be true. First one, noun. I'm going to read the beginning of each, not the whole thing. There's more. Noun, an intentionally false statement. And then verb. the verb for lie is to tell a lie or lies. So weren't we taught never to define something with the word itself? So an intentionally false statement. Do you think that a lie requires you specifically say something untrue? Because the definition we just heard said an intentionally false statement. Do you think you have to say something for it to be a lie?
You can do something.
Yeah, I'm with you. Personally, I think any form of communication, because we can communicate more than with words, right? Any form of communication or lack thereof, where you purposely mislead somebody, is a lie. True? Do you agree with that?
Sometimes what you don't say,
exactly. Now, don't get me wrong. I think there are situations where we can be put in a situation where we shouldn't have to answer either way. And if they misconstrue that, that's on them. But in a situation where you know your actions, your words, your whatever are going to communicate something, and you know they're going to communicate a falsehood, then it is a lie. But notice, regardless, the intentional part. Unintentionally being incorrect is not a lie. And I think this is important in modern dialogue. Unintentionally being incorrect is not a lie. But it is a lie if you knowingly accuse someone of lying when that is the case. And that does happen quite a bit in modern political dialogue, where somebody misspoke, they honestly believe something, they misspeak, and then the opposition accuses them of lying when they either do know or should know better that it wasn't a lie. We're all humans. Augie?
I think I know the only good lie.
And, well, I'm actually going to talk about that a little later in the sermon, okay? Okay. Let's go ahead and open up our Bibles. Got them handy? Electronic or otherwise? We're going to start by looking at God, which, think about it, it's always a good thing to do, isn't it? Look at God. Numbers 23:19. Numbers 23, verse 19. We there? I don't know, Cisco, if I can find it better, faster in a old Bible than, you know. 23:19. God is not, notice the word not, very important. God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said it, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and he will not fulfill it? That verse implicitly and correctly notes that man lies. But what about God? Does God lie? No. Our deceitful nature, even though it doesn't specifically say that, our deceitful nature is used as a contrast to the Almighty, who does not lie. But as I've said before, one reference generally is not enough to prove a doctrine. So let's take a look at Hebrews 6, 16 through 18. Hebrews 6, 16 through 18. This time you can beat me, right, Cisco? Are you there? Well, not if you keep closing your Bible on the phone, huh? Hebrews 6, 16 through 18. All set? I see one in the back still looking. It's okay. I want to make sure everybody's reading along, and it doesn't hurt to read around, too. That way you can make sure I'm not taking something out of context inappropriately. 6:16 through 18. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and all their disputes, an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to do what?
Lie.
Exactly. In which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. Can God lie? Can God lie?
No.
It is impossible. Did you read those words? It is impossible for him to lie. And not because he's like a robot, always programmed to tell the truth. It is because it is not within God's character to lie. Now, wouldn't that be nice to say about ourselves? Right? But in reality, when we're changed, we can say that about ourselves. When God returns and we're brought up to heaven, Jesus returns. But right now, that can be said of God. It is impossible for him to lie because it's not within his character to lie. So, based on what I've shared before, are we all comfortable with settling on the fact that God does not lie? We good? Great. Okay, we're going to do two questions together. Do humans lie?
Yes.
Should we lie?
No.
Well, then I guess we can just wrap up the sermon. I don't even have to convince you. With do humans lie, I suspect if we were in court with the Most High, he's up on his throne, we'd allow our lawyers to stipulate, you heard that before, we stipulate that humans lie. It is so obvious from our own experience and from even Numbers 23:19 that we looked at. But let's see what else the Bible says. First, by turning to Proverbs 6:16 through 19. Proverbs 6:16 through 19. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. There are six things that the Lord hates. Seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes. What kind of tongue? Exactly. A lying tongue. And hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that make haste to run to evil. A false witness, which is what? What is a false witness? It's a lie, right? A false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. What does the Lord hate? What is an abomination to him? A lying tongue. And also a false witness who breathes out lies. Lying about anyone is an abomination in God's eyes. So much that it actually warrants a spot in the Ten Commandments. It's the tenth one. We won't turn there, but Exodus 20, verse 16 shows that. But bearing false witness is one kind of lie. What if I am honest whenever I'm speaking about someone else? So if I'm going to talk about you, Deb, I'm going to be honest. Then is it okay to lie? Because, I mean, if we look at the other verses, the lying tongue and the bearing false witness, maybe that's all he was talking about. What I'm going to do, save you from flipping. I'm going to read three references right in a row, and we'll see if it's limited to bearing false witness. Ready? This one's Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Leviticus 19:11. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. And then finally, Colossians 3:9-10. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Did you hear the word abomination again when I was reading through? Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Was it limited to just bearing false witness? Any of those verses? No. Lying, with no limiting disclaimers, is an abomination. All lying. And based on those verses, we come to two more conclusions, which you guys already knew. Humans lie. We should not lie. Agreed? Now, a quick detour before we continue, and this one's for you in part, Augie, because you were going to bring this up. What if we were in Nazi Germany during World War II, we're hiding a couple of Jews in our attic, here's somebody knocking on the door, we open it, and it's Nazi soldiers asking if we have seen any Jews. Is it okay to lie then?
Yes.
Or must we tell the truth?
It's okay to lie then.
You know, Augie, I have talked to you about this, and I've said that I thought it was okay to lie then. But to be honest, I think I was wrong. I don't see anything in our Bibles, electronic or paper, that puts caveats around the command not to lie. So, Augie, I apologize. I don't think it's ever correct to lie. I mean, I'll tell you guys, if you can find something in there that will let me off the hook, I'd love to. But I've got to be honest with you. I would. I mean, could you imagine being in that situation? Then what should we do if we get in an equivalent situation? And we could. I don't think Nazism is ever going to return, but we could be in a situation where we are asked a question where we shouldn't have to answer it. And if we answer it honestly, it will perhaps maybe not lead to the death of someone else. But what should we do? First, I pray you never get in that situation. And I kind of wonder, as another quick aside, if you trust God, whether he will often protect you from those situations. When you say, look, I'm going to depend on me and my wisdom and my intellect, then God might let you find out that you're not so smart. And perhaps God will generally keep Christians out of those situations if we say, you know what, God, if I ever get in that situation, I'm going to do what you say I should do. But I do first say, I pray you never are in that situation. But my advice is this. Do whatever your God-given, God-informed conscience tells you to do. In my hypothetical situation, there is no good outcome. Is there? But, for instance, you could refuse to answer. you can slam the door, lock it, and try to get away with the folks that you were protecting up in the attic. It's my point, though, it's not just lie or tell the truth sometimes, but we make it out like that. And ultimately, if you think about it, isn't it a slippery slope? Say that three times quick. Slippery slope. When you start allowing excuses for lying, hardly anyone would argue with you about lying when somebody's life is at stake. Nobody would argue with you about that. Almost nobody, I should say. But what about some lesser unfair thing, like getting deported? Is that worthy of a lie? In the U.S. today, many would consider it a good reason to lie. And I'll be up front. I would definitely not proactively try to get people deported. That wouldn't be my style. But if I were in a situation where somebody, especially somebody I cared for, was here illegally and I was asked, my love for them, would that be a good excuse to lie? And of course, a lot of people consider it a righteous lie. That's why we have sanctuary cities and now sanctuary states. So maybe you'd say, okay, in that case, it's okay. What about if they would just get fined and released? Then is it okay to lie? Because you still think it's wrong, perhaps, for them to get deported. Is it okay to lie if the only thing that would happen is they would get fined and released? Is any unfair consequence, see what's happening with a slippery slope? Is any unfair consequence good enough to lie about? Is that a good enough reason to lie? Yeah, but my point, though, Augie, is I understand that, but at some point that becomes a slippery slope, doesn't it? At some point, if you think it's okay to lie because of the consequence, you can start bringing the consequence down. What if they were just going to be, they're not going to die, but they're going to be injured? Oh, that's still okay to lie. Well, what if they're going to, like I said, going to be deported? Is then it okay to lie? What if they're only going to be jailed and fined? At some point, you got to do it. And the problem is, if the Holy Spirit inspired pages of Scripture, if these pages do not give us escapes from the commandment not to lie, then should we? Should I, as your minister up here, give you reasons to do it? Having said all this, I do understand that these are not easy questions to answer, especially when confronted with a situation where somebody else's welfare is at stake. So I leave it between you and God. With one final bit of advice. One final bit of advice. Study and pray about it now. This is important. Don't wait. Study and pray about it now so that you'll actually be prepared when it happens. Fair enough? Yeah, it's a good one. So one of the things I almost put in the sermon is technically, just because somebody who we look up to lie doesn't mean it's okay to lie, right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. In that story, obviously, she made a choice, the Most High or whatever, and I think that she's looked to for that. And it is true. If God, I have a hard time saying that God would tell us to lie, but obviously if God told us to lie, then you're going to lie, right?
Yeah.
But it's interesting because the Bible talks about like God put a lying spirit or whatever, and I would read most of those that God leverages all history, not just good history, for his ends. Does that make sense? And so, for instance, would it be hard for God to find a lying spirit in today's world? Does he have to actually encourage somebody to lie? It just comes so naturally, right? So when it says God sent a lying spirit, it's kind of like when I did a sermon one time talking about how the Bible about 10 times says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And about 10 other times it says Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Well, which is it? Well, it's both. Because, exactly, when God, Pharaoh's heart was such that when God allowed the things that Pharaoh should have taken the way that would melt our hearts, it hardened his. And so what I would say is, yes, Rahab's a good one if you're going to say, hey, look for a righteous cause, because she protected. And it's similar, right? What would have happened to the spies? They would have been probably tortured and killed. But the problem is that that's at best descriptive versus prescriptive, something that describes what happened versus tells you how you should do it. But again, I want to go back to this. I'll tell you still, in preparing for this sermon, I studied it and I came to the conclusion that I was wrong before. But I will tell you whether it is, I don't have an attic, but let's say our crawl space above the, whether I was protecting something in the crawl space or, I personally believe in immigration laws or deported. If I had somebody who was an illegal alien in my house, I would have a hard time. I believe in enforcing the law, but I would have a hard time because of the effect. I just wouldn't lie. I'd try to figure some other way, right? But on the spot, in the moment, might I lie? I still might. I mean, it's a natural thing. The thing that's interesting about lying is that it is also one of those things that's very, very easy to rationalize. I think I did a sermon about how humans are really good at rationalizing. And lying is one of those things that's it's really easy to rationalize. You know, somebody, your hair looks good, so don't worry, okay? But Deb walks in, she didn't today, but let's pretend she walks in, she says, how do you like my new hair? I just got it done yesterday, right? Now, I don't want to hurt her feelings. So I could, with really good excuse, say, you know what? It looks good. But I'll tell you right now, I will not. If you ask me for opinion, I'm going to do one of two things. I'm either going to give you my opinion or I'm going to avoid it, right? And that's what I would do if I didn't like the hair, right? So you're right. If you don't like the answer, don't ask the question. That's why they say in court, don't ask a question where you don't know what answer you're going to get. So lying is one of those things that's really to do. Because now with hair, you'd be, oh, that's a little white lie. And it's funny. I didn't want to extend the sermon, but the song when I think of lying, the song that comes to mind for me is Sammy Hagar does one called Little White Lie. There's no such thing. The Bible doesn't, all lies are black. And true, don't get me wrong, a lie where I steal your home from you is probably worse than a lie about your hair, which you and I don't have to worry so much about. But the fact is they're not, there's no such thing as a white lie. And it goes up, because the next thing could be that, let's say, and I haven't, don't worry, let's say I cheated on my wife. I could say the reason I'm not going to tell her about it is because I don't want her feelings. Okay, let me ask you this. Who am I doing a favor for with that case? But even with your hair, who am I doing a favor? I'm worried about our relationship. I can say I'm doing it because I don't want to hurt your feelings, but maybe it's because I'm being selfish and I don't want to hurt our relationship. But you know what hurts our relationship?
Lying.
Exactly. If you go look at songs, I was looking at different songs about lying. If you go look at songs, or even the one that I quoted, what's the issue? You can't trust them. And when there's a breakdown in trust, which is, by the way, what happened in the Garden of Eden with God, there was a breakdown in trust. We stopped trusting God. We trusted the devil, who started off with a first lie, right? What was it? God knows you surely will not die. Exactly. So, you know, I didn't mean to go off on the tangent, but I just think people have to realize that I bring up the slippery slope, but we rationalize, and it's so easy. We start with something small, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Another song, I can't remember what it was. It might have been the one by Sammy Hagar. They have a habit of needing to build, too, right? You say this little white lie. Your teacher asks you if somebody helped you with your homework, and you say you didn't, right? And then your teacher sees two answers that are exactly the same, and then you have to build upon that lie, right? And then you build upon that lie, and before you know it, you're suspended because now you look like a total liar. And to top it off, the next time you don't, you do something and it just happens they look similar, do they believe you? No, because you're a liar. You're a proven liar. Oh, well, I'm sorry. I just spoke about a really hard choice. Whether or not you should lie when somebody's life is at stake or somebody's welfare. Let's look at a couple more choices. So I talked about a hard choice. Let's look a bit more about choices. First, looking at two parts of Revelation. So go to Revelation here and we'll look at two, and then we have one final verse and we'll wrap up. Revelation, yep, we're going to look at Revelation 14, 1 through 5. Revelation 14, 1 through 5. And we're going to contrast things. People who God chooses versus people who God rejects. Revelation 14, 1 through 5. And I looked. Just imagine this, actually. This would be a great verse to actually picture in your head. And I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb. And with him, how many? 144,000. It's not an exact number. It's symbolic. Tribes. How many tribes of Israel? 12. What's 12 times 12? 144. So I'm not saying for sure, but my point is Jehovah Witnesses made something out of this number, because that's basically, if you became a Jehovah Witness, you're going to become more than 144,000. And then guess what happened? They ran out. Enough people had joined the church, and Jesus didn't return, and the 144,000 ran out. So guess what? Then they read, let me read that. 144,000 had his name and his father's name written on the foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the roar of many waters and like the sound of a loud thunder. Then the voice I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they were singing a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and before the elders. No one could learn that song except for the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. It is these who have not defiled themselves with women, for they are virgins. And by the way, it doesn't mean that you have to be a virgin to be saved. Again, symbolic. It is these who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been redeemed from mankind as first fruits for God and the Lamb. And in their mouth, no what? No deceit. Mine says, what was yours say?
Lie.
Lie. Anybody else say lie? Mine says lie. No what? Guile, right. Great versions, but no lie. No lie was found, for they are blameless. Getting back to the Jehovah Witnesses, there's another scripture about the 144,000 that then talks about a great multitude. And their thing was, wait. There's 144,000 and the great multitude. So now the ones who joined the church are part of the great multitude. They're not part of the special 144,000. Just be real. That's the problem with doctrine, right? When you're so sure of it. I'm not going to say they were lying, but the fact is, when you come up with a doctrine that then, reality disproves, it's amazing how people will twist and try to figure out how to do it. Okay, question for you. Would you like to be chosen by the Almighty to be one of the 144,000, singing a new song before the throne, being part of those who were redeemed from the earth? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Of course you would, because you guys are all intelligent. What was not found in their mouth? Lies, right. Lies. In their mouth, no lie was found, nor. For they are blameless. Now let's look at Revelation 22, 14 through 15. Revelation 22, 14 through 15. We there? And you've got your book too? Awesome, Evelyn. Very nice. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers, and the sexually immoral, and murderers and idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices what? What?
Lawlessness.
Mine says falsehood. Yours says falsehood. What's yours say, Deb? Revelation 22, 14 through 15.
Idolaters?
Beyond it, so a little further. And everyone who loves and practices
lying.
There you go. Falsehood, lying. So what does it mean? Now we know. What does it mean to practice falsehood?
Lies.
Exactly. It means to lie. Inside are those who have the right to the tree of life. But outside are who? Everybody who practices, include. You're right, it was a long list. You don't want to be a part of that list, do you? Anybody want to be on the list? No, but it includes everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Everyone who lies. God chooses those who do not lie. The previous version of Revelation, God chooses those who do not lie. God rejects those who do lie. Okay, one more scripture and then we're going to wrap this up. John 8:44. And if I had to choose a favorite book in the Bible, it would be John. John 8:44. So, we said we didn't want to be in that list we just read. I don't think we would ever want Jesus to say this about us. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do what your father desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks from or speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of what? Lies. What is the devil? The father of lies. Does God lie? No. God does not lie. Humans lie. We should not lie. God chooses those who do not lie. God rejects those who do lie. The devil is the father of lies. Now, last week, I ended with a choice. I don't know if you remember. I said, I gave you a longer set of verses, and they ended with this. I said, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. That was Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. Now, today, I give you a choice again. Another one you have no choice but to make. Because not choosing is choosing wrongly. Exactly. Do you choose your Heavenly Father, God, who does not lie? Or do you choose the devil, the father of lies? It's easy to say, as many in Christianity do, God chooses whom he will save. But you know what? God ultimately gives us what we want for eternity. If you willingly lie, because something else I didn't put a whole bunch of time in this sermon about, the fact is, I don't think there's anybody here today, and I include myself, that before you meet your Maker, will not lie again. We're human. But that doesn't mean we willingly lie. We feel bad afterwards. We ask for forgiveness. We correct a lie when it makes sense to correct a lie. If you willingly lie, you choose the devil. You keep lying when you ought to be truthing. Whom do you choose? God, right. Or as I put here, because he is God too. Choose Jesus. Agreed?